You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's pay attention tonight. Let's pray. Let's participate. Please let God get a hold of your heart. Obviously, turn off all the cell phones. Put away all distractions. Just slide over from that friend that may distract you. And I believe that God already has given us a lot tonight. Well, what will we do with Christ tonight? I know that tonight will leave a mark on us if we will let it. What we've already heard has, if it isn't real to you yet, you need to figure out what you're looking for. You need to figure out what you're looking for. And maybe just this message tonight will help, I pray, in that. I believe this truth from God's word is what was supposed to be preached tonight. I believe that it is, I believe for us here tonight, the most important truth of all of our life. I believe that what we do with the truth from God's word, just simply straight from what Jesus is teaching in the words in red, will either cause your Christianity to succeed forever in a legacy and a life that honors God and fulfills its purpose for being created, or not grabbing a hold of this truth will cause your Christianity to fail. I truly believe as we look at this theme, discovering God's goodness and discovering God, if we get this thing settled tonight, we'll be all right. Let's take our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 19. And the Bible gives this story many times throughout the Gospels. In Matthew 19, in Mark chapter number 10, and in Luke chapter number 18, we find the story of a rich young ruler. It's crucial tonight that we follow along in every word of Matthew 19 because Jesus is teaching a defining truth, a fundamental truth of all of life. Without this truth, the key is missing to the door of Christianity, and so many people miss it. And so Jesus is teaching this truth, and it's very clear, and it's a very simple truth, but it's one that has to be spiritually heard and discerned. So follow every word and look at it. We'll read Matthew's account, Matthew 19. And the Bible says in verse 16, Matthew 19 and verse number 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Follow carefully, verse 18, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If that will be perfect or whole, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come again, or come and follow me. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25. When his disciples heard it, heard what all of this, what he's just said, or this whole scenario between the rich young ruler and Jesus, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. But with, keyword, God, all things are possible. Father, we love you and we thank you for these stories that we find stamped in all of these gospels that you shared, that you brought to us tonight. Lord, make it fresh and new. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, you've anointed this service. Please do not allow the devil, Lord, to get any part of what's about ready and has already happened. Father, I pray that you'd continue to grip our hearts and lives tonight. Thank you for this incredible opportunity as we gather together. Who knows if we'll ever be together like this again, and we're grateful for this opportunity. May we not squander it. Thank you for your truth. May we enjoy it and have fun tonight, God, around your word, and be convicted and changed. In Jesus' name, may we be obedient. Holy Spirit, come. God, I do not ask for a good message. I do not ask for a remembered messenger. God, a holy Father in heaven, I ask, Lord, for a message from you that will help and that will change and transform. In Jesus' name, amen. As we remember the story here, we pull up to the large stone columns. We pause as we see the sunset. It's now hitting the stone columns and chiseled out in gold, the beautiful letters on either column, R-Y-R. R-Y-R. We've arrived at the rich young ruler's home, and it is in a magnificent estate. Of course, following in the pattern of Solomon the king from thousands of years earlier, we smell and see all of the gardens, the trees, the flowers, the water features and the waterfalls. We can hear it. The birds are chirping. He is a man of great possession. He is a ruler. He's a well-known man. He's a religious man. He's a good man with a good life. We get into that chariot as the butler and the servants take us up that long lane, and we're just enjoying the weather and the sunset as it hits our face, and we're enjoying the large, magnificent estate that we now see as we crest the hill. But standing on the back of the large estate on a veranda is a man standing alone, looking out over all that his good life has built. And the principles of a good life have brought to him incredible blessings. He's obviously a man of integrity. He's obviously a man of character. He's obviously a respected man to be a ruler, to be rich, to have great possessions. Location, location, location. We're just outside of Jerusalem, not too far to get into the commerce and into the place of leadership and ruling, but yet just far enough away to enjoy the beauty of that Mount Zion. He's standing on his veranda and he's looking out all over all of this land, but in his heart, there's the word more. More. He is a good man. He's kept the commandments and he loves life and he wants a good life. He's not looking to destroy his life, but something's empty. More. 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 But what more? I can't think of anything else. I'm satisfied. But he remembers a conversation. I mean, people knew that this Jesus was in town and in the region. And so he goes down for maybe an early brunch and he sits around with his friends who've come over and they're enjoying that beautiful brunch or the tea, the eggs and the biscuits and all of the food that is being served to them. And somebody brings him up again, this Jesus, this master, this good teacher. And he drops his head as he's eating and he said, that's the more. He's offering eternal life, and I've got everything, but there's something inside of me that just wants that eternal life, that good life. What good thing am I going to have to do to get that? I mean, I've worked hard. I've got all of this good life. I want this good life. I desire this good life. And he puts his hands down on the table, and he said, that's it. Pack up everything we've got. We're going to go for as long as it takes until we find him, and we're going to meet with him. We're going to figure out how to have this eternal life. And so they begin to pack up, and there's a scurry around the house. The friends go, and he heads down that lane, and he finally finds Jesus, and he comes to Jesus, and he bows down before Jesus, and he says, good master. And I hope that you noticed all of the times that we saw the word good. It's a good life. It's great possessions. It's a rich, he's young, he's a ruler, all of these things that we could dissect and talk. It's a good life. But he says, master, what? And then he says this, good thing. What good thing do I have to do to enter into this life that you're talking about? I want this. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Why do you call me good? Now pause for a moment. If I would have been standing there, I know it's not good grammar, but it's good theology. I would have said, excuse me, because there's none gooder than you. There's none gooder than God. What do you mean? I mean, you know, okay, you're God. You're, you know, but wait a minute. Jesus is teaching an incredible truth here to the rich young ruler. It's an incredible soul winning story. An incredible story of life. He says, why do you call me good? There's none but good, but watch the key here, but God. And he says, but if you want to enter into this life, he says, keep the commandments. He said, oh, which? I've kept the commandments from you. Just tell me which. He said, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, honor thy father and thy mother, love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, I've done all of those. It's a good life. It's what brought me into this life that I'm at today. And he says, what more do I lack? And Jesus says, okay, all right. He says, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go home, and as you enter the gate there, I want you to chisel off those very valuable, the monogram there, the rich young ruler, and go in and sell everything that you have and take it all, take all of that good life and go into town, sell it all, and go find all the poor people that you can find and give all of this value, all of this money, all of this treasure to the poor. And there's a moment, the scene freezes. The cameras kind of are going slow motion around the scene between Jesus and the rich young ruler. The disciples are on the outside of the scene as they view this slow motion shot, and they look in like, what's going to happen? This is incredible. Look at this man. Look at the teacher, Jesus. And the rich young man, everything's rolling through his mind like, this guy's got to be kidding me. Like, I'm a good man. I'm not a bad. And in that moment, the disciples, I mean, nobody's breathing. The rich young ruler dropped his head and he walks away, sadly. Guess I'm not going to be getting any of that today. The disciples, it's all in our text. The disciples are standing over here and they're saying, did you see that? Did you just, and Jesus is standing there watching him with a broken heart. Did you just see what I saw? And Jesus speaks to him. He understands that they're confused. And the disciples, he's trying to teach them the great lesson of life here too. And Jesus speaks to them. And finally, they say, look, if he can't be saved, who in the world can? And Jesus says, nobody can. Nobody can. You can't. Because it's a God thing. God's got to do it. And so here's what Jesus is teaching, and he teaches it all throughout the Bible. Here's the deal. The good man, the rich young ruler, he was mistaking God for good. He came wanting the good life instead of the God life. He had too many O's in his theology. See, instead of God, it was good. The good was his lead. The good was his goal. The good was his want. The good was his life. The good was what he was desiring. But he didn't see him as God. He could have been like the other rich ruler who came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus, and he says, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus kind of gives the same experience and teaching, and he says, look, you got to be born again. He said, that's gross. I can't go back in my mother's. And he said, no, it's of God. And in this moment, we see later on how we saw Nicodemus testifying as a believer. Now, we see that Nicodemus, God, oh, my Lord and my God, this is God. This is God. And the message tonight, we see that far too many of us are seeking the good life instead of the God life. We're looking for God as the Santa Claus instead of seeing God as holy, 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 and sovereign. And when holiness and sovereignty and the fear of God and the holiness of God is our lead, we will try him and find him tested and true and proven. But when good is our lead, we'll sit in services like this with a bitter heart and say, this is a joke. This is a joke. An evangelist would call home and his little children would want to talk to him on the phone. And the little children would say, Daddy, what you gonna bring me? What you gonna bring me? What you gonna bring me? But he said, I loved it when the older ones would get on the phone. They would grab the phone and say, Daddy, when are you coming home? When are you coming home? Because they understood that if they got dad, they had everything else. And everything else would be okay. And so the question here tonight is, are you seeking the good life or are you seeking God life? Are you seeking for the blessings of God? Are you rock solid, committed, and surrendered and all in for the God of the blessings? Jesus said, I'm not offering to bless your life. R-Y-R. I'm not offering to save your life. I'm offering to own your life. He said, here's what's going on, disciple. He said, I'm not here to strip away everything he has. I'm not here to give him a miserable life. But if I tell him to keep the commandments and go sell all that he has, if I'm God, he'll say, sign me up. Just like the disciples took up their cross and followed. But if I'm not God and he wants me around as a little genie that you rub, or a counselor, or a master, or a teacher, or a good luck charm, or just somebody to add to this blessed life or this good life of him, then he's going to miss eternal life, because you must believe that he is the Son of God. He said he just wants me around because I'm good. How many Christians, how many teenagers will walk away because they were just looking for the good life instead of the God life? I stand beside him. His name is Job. He's in the ashes tonight. I can hear the sound of the pottery against the skin, and the boils and the pus and the blood oozes. He's sitting down and I'm standing watching him. You're with me. We're standing around. He doesn't see us. And then I hear him sing. God's been God in my life.
That's good. Amen.
I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, most tour groups change this phrase because they don't understand the theology behind these powerful songs that we sung tonight. They don't get it. We don't get it. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't, hear this, I wouldn't change them if I could, because through it all, God's been God. Stop, Job, you're messing the song up. Weren't you live streaming North Valley Baptist Youth Conference 2024? You're messing the song up. He said, no, you don't understand the theology of the song. The theology of the song to sing God is good really is God is God, because right now in my flesh and in my mind, he's not good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. I don't even think it is good, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth his gold. He said, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor he charged God foolishly. Why? Because he was saying, God, you're God. You're sovereign. You're holy. Even when it doesn't seem fair, Brother Tiago, even when it doesn't look right, when they've got all of this and you didn't have all of this, God was working a master plan. God is God. He's sovereign. He's holy. He's right. Let that be our lead. I can hear Paul. He's over there beside Silas, and I'm annoyed because I'm in the jail cell next door. He don't know I'm over there. I'm a Christian too. Man, I've been thrown in jail too, but this dude, he had it bad. He's bleeding. There's broken bones. Man, all that Paul went through, unbelievable. I'm thinking, if I could just get a little sleep, but I'm so uncomfortable, my feet and my arms, and I don't know what they're going to do to me, the fear of the unknown every moment. I've heard Paul in there getting beat and slapped and punched and all of these things, and old Silas over there. And all of a sudden, right before I'm ready to go to sleep, I hear something in the cell next door. It's midnight. It's pitch black.
Yeah.
God is so God. God is so God. God is so God, he's so God to stop Paul, Silas. Bad harmony, by the way, over there. Hey, it's God is so good. Hey, I don't know who you are, but you seen us recently? We're in bonds and we're we've been beaten over here. Yeah, but he's good, isn't he? No, he's God. I know, but don't you believe it? Yes, we get that. But in this moment, the Bible says if we're really going to praise him, we praise him in his holiness. We praise him in his sovereignty. We praise him in his majesty. We praise him in his greatness. He's not Santa Claus to us. He's not this big fluffy bunny. Hey, he is good, but he's good because he's God. Well, couldn't you just sing God is so good? God is so God, because his ways are higher than my ways. And my little mind is weak right now. I hear the seagulls. I feel the salt wind. I stand on the bow of the ship. I almost want to get up there. Can I get up there?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Chicago. He had a great business.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicago fire came and destroyed everything he had. His name was H.G. Spafford. His son had died of the bubonic plague. He's stressed, he's depressed. Workers, young people. But he's a believer in God. He's got the God question settled. He's got the love question settled. He's got the Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him settled. He's in the God life, not the good life. But he gets a telegram, saved alone. His daughters and wife had sailed to Europe. They were going to try to just get a little reprieve, a little relaxing, a little rest. His heart is crushed. His heart is broken. Let me tell you something. There's going to be days where you bawl your eyeballs out. When you got the God question settled, you can sing and praise and shout greater than ever before. So here we are back where we started. We're standing there. We're behind him and we're watching him. And it's that moment of silence. They stop the boat. It's not moving other than just a small rocking in the seas. And he walks to the edge and tears are dripping off his face. He's not some kind of super Christian that don't feel hurt. And the hurt of losing a loved one is so deep, Brother Tiago, so deep. And he looks out and I'm thinking, what's he going to say? We'll give him a free pass. Is he going to cuss? He's going to say, this is not good. What's he going to do as he looks down where his daughters drown? Their bodies are down there being eaten by the fish. They're at the bottom of the ocean. We hear that anointed voice. Yep. When peace, yep, like a river, it, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, God's still God, God's still God in my soul. God is God, God, you're God. God is God, God, you're God. God is God, God is God in my soul. Why? Because Mr. Spafford wasn't seeking the good life. He was seeking the God life and his legacy and story of blessedness and goodness there in Jerusalem with the boys' home and a girl's home. The legacy that he left was because he was seeking God first. And all these things later was added unto him because he tried him and he found them to be true. My daughter Lydia has a beautiful voice, and she's just an incredible young lady. All of my children are, I'm so proud of them, but man, that girl can sing. And she's talented, and she runs and skips and plays. Her name's Lydia Joy. She always says, Daddy, you named me right. Lydia Joy. And she sings. We have this girls' choir, and they all match in white, and they sing this song, Risen to set the captives free, risen. And they were up there singing, and I looked over and saw our whole church's little friend. Her name's Esther. She's about Lydia's age. And Esther is in a wheelchair for her whole life. She has cerebral palsy. And Esther will never stand, and Esther will never run, and Esther will never sing like that. And I love Esther, and we all love Esther. She's the sweetest little girl trapped in this body, and we sing the songs. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk. And I think of little Esther. And in tears, I saw her mom and dad over there. Her mom brought her to summer camp this week. I mean, had her down in the woods playing capture the flag. Her parents just sacrificed for her all the time. Just an incredible family. But I said, I want you to sing it again. And I know that Esther, that she had learned the song in the car with her mom and dad. And I said, I want Esther to sing. And they carried her up in a wheelchair, put her up on the platform, and with joy and confidence and victory saying, risen to set the cat. You talk about Easter, the resurrected body, the resurrected life. One day she's going to run and skip again. But wait a minute. That doesn't look fair to me. That doesn't look fair to me. Why does my daughter get to be free? I don't know. But God's still God. And because God is God, he is good even when I cannot see it. What are you looking for? What's it going to take? Because God's on trial to many of us teenagers. I know it wasn't that long ago. I sat where you're sitting. I'm just making sure that what he Santa Claus to you, it's going to come by my way hopefully that I'm not going to get coal in mine because maybe I haven't been good enough. So God's on trial. You better get God off trial tonight and make him the Lord of your life. Sovereign and holy and high, and surrender your sin and your sorrow and your bitterness and your brokenness and your doubting to Jesus. Because there are going to be moments where you say, this isn't right. It's not fair. Just a year ago, I brought my son Aaron out here. We love this place. And we came for the big conference in March just a year ago. And Aaron brought a friend. We came with a friend, both his dad and my dad. And Aaron brought Levi, and Levi loved it here. I mean, on this platform, getting pictures with you and sitting right here and sitting right here in this auditorium. And we went over to the Levi Stadium. And I have a picture right here on my iPad and phone of Levi. If you'd like to see it after the service, I'll show you a picture of Levi. And Aaron's up on his shoulders. And it was a great week just a year ago. June 23rd is a happy day. It's my son Aaron's birthday. And we're at Walmart. It's about 10 o'clock at night because we're doing the all-night catfishing. We got this little fishing cabin down by our pond. And we're there. My dad would always get Snickers candy bars when you go all-night catfishing for all night. And so we were there, and me and my son was there, and I was buying Snickers, and we were buying chicken livers and the big hooks and all of the things. And I didn't want to answer my phone, but something inside of me said, you need to answer the buzzing in your pocket. And I pulled it out, and it was fairly late at night before Walmart was closing. They close in our area. And I picked up the phone, and it was Chloe, and Chloe was just screaming. Just screaming. And I said, man, I don't know what's going on, but I was kind of picking up on a little bit of it. And I got in the car and I called my wife, and she met and got Aaron and the boys there. And I rushed off about 30 minutes to Levi's house. And I pulled up, and there was ambulances and police cars arriving. Everything had just happened. I came running up, and there's mom and dad and family members out in the yard. As long as I live, I'll never forget. I've struggled and my health, and just I'm trusting the Lord, but man, it's been such a journey. 1 year ago, June 23rd, this week, I came walking up. I'm, what's going on? And they said, he took his life. I said, but he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Where's the ambulance? And the officer looked at me, and he just went like this. I cannot tell you what I saw and the things that I helped with. What I can tell you is it wasn't good. It wasn't good. Pastor Abe and I sat in the living room. We didn't know what to do. We sat there till noon the next day, just sitting and praying, calling people that they wanted us to call. In the middle of the night, you hear the cries of a mom. And you don't know what to say. She comes walking out of her bedroom, and she's screaming, why would God do this? And you get up and you grab her, and you say, I don't know, but he's God. And we're not going to charge him foolishly. And we're not going to blame him. And he's not a bad God. You say, but this isn't good. You're right. But he's God. He's God. He's God. He's in charge. And it looked like that God wasn't good all those years for you, Brother Tiago. But the potter knows the clay. And he's working the beautiful design. Because all of your family, all the family that's gotten saved in your life, they would have died and gone to hell if all of that wouldn't happen. And I'm not saying God did all of that, but just like Joseph's brothers, God can use all of that. I'm glad there came a day when Billy Tiago says, look, all to Jesus I surrender. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. I see Abraham standing over Isaac, his only son, ready to take away all of his good life. What are you doing, Abraham? Don't take your good. Abraham said, this will make or break my Christianity right here. I'm standing here because I'm not looking for the good life. I'm looking for the God life. And up the other side of the mountain comes a ram God provided. a lamb. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valleys of trials and temptations. That's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. The God of the day is still God in the night. And the God of the good times, he's still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Oh, we could take a journey all night to see men like John the Baptist. Now he's in prison. And he says, wait a minute. Boys, y'all go see this Jesus and say, are you really Christ or do we seek for another? And Jesus says, go tell John again. John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame, they're walking again. Just because you're in jail doesn't mean I'm not God. I'm God. It just doesn't look like it to you right now. But I'm still God. The disciples were looking for the good life. They said, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? They were vying. They were fleshly. They were arguing. All of these things. And Jesus, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? But Jesus dies on the cross. He's buried. 3 days later, he shows himself with many infallible proofs. And all of a sudden, those same scared, huddled men, they're giving their life. Why? Because it wasn't about the good life anymore. It wasn't about the kingdom anymore. It wasn't about the power and the glory and the fame anymore. It was about the God life. That's why Matthew was killed as a martyr by the sword in Ethiopia, bringing thousands to Christ. Mark was killed by being dragged by horses through the streets of Alexandria, Egypt, until he was dead. Luke was hanged from an olive tree in Greece as the result of his tremendous preaching for the lost. History teaches us that John was boiled. The Bible speaks of this, boiled in a huge basin of oil in Rome. He was miraculously delivered from death. So they sentenced him to the prison mines where he worked himself there on the Isle of Patmos. And that's where God gave him the revelation to write that great book of prophecy. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died. James, the leader at the church of Jerusalem, was thrown down from the pinnacle of the temple, the same one there that Satan had tempted Jesus with. When he refused to deny his faith in Christ, they threw him down. They discovered that he was still alive, so they beat him to death with a fuller's club. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Peter gets to go free from prison back when they're praying for him. James is then beheaded. That's not fair, but God's God. He's in charge. And because God is God, we try him, we test him, and he proves true because we let God and the sovereignty and our surrender to him follow, lead. Bartholomew was flayed to death by a whip in Armenia. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severely by 7 soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led to the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, quote, I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it. He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he died. Thomas was killed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in that subcontinent. Jude was shot and killed by arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias the apostle chose to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot. He was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the emperor Nero in Rome in AD 60. Hey, let me just tell you something. Why did these men do that? Well, I don't want to do that. Hey, they realized, hey, I'll live again. I'll rise again. Why? Because he's God. He's holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. You want to know why these people are touched and why these men cry and why we shout? Not because we're looking for Santa Claus in his big sleigh. It's because we've tried him, we've tested him, we've come through the valley of the shadow of death, and we say, hey, wait a minute, I'll lead you beside the still waters, and we're in it for the feeding. Oh, I want the food, the cup running over. But we overlook that leading. Because that same leading that led us beside still waters also leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you want to make it out on the other side, there has to come a point in time in your life as a young person where you take God off trial. Be still and know that I am God. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I was about ready to give up. And then I went into the sanctuary of God. I saw it was all about God and not all about me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Let me close with this story. Luke 15, the prodigal comes home. They're throwing a party. Dad says, where's Dave? Dave's the brother out back. He opens the back door. He says, Dave. He says, yeah, I'm over here. He said, what are you doing out back, Dave? He says, I'm good. I'm not coming in. He says, Dave, you know, the prodigal's been gone for such a long time. And we're having a party. I know you're having a party. Listen carefully. He said, Dave, what's the attitude? What is the deal with you? He said, Dave, you're a good boy. He says, I know I am. He said, not one time have I disobeyed you. Not one time have I done anything that you didn't want me to do. And not one time, I mean, that's incredible. I couldn't say that about myself or anybody. I mean, here's a good kid. But he said, in all of those years, you never killed the fatted calf for me. You never put a ring on my finger. You never put a robe over me. And his dad so wisely says the same thing that Jesus teaches over and over and over again. He said, Dave, I am ever with you. You have me. And all that I have is yours. Read it for yourself. Luke 15 is how the chapter ends. And he walks away, missing the Father. He still had the inheritance. He still had the presence of God, but he walks away and the chapter closes. Why? Because that good religious boy who grew up in a church and youth groups and youth conferences, he was looking for the good life and he missed the God life. My wife and I lost our first two children. It was Valentine's Day. We were devastated. We didn't have any children. My wife had prayed for twins. We had a little boy and a little girl. And something ruptured inside. She almost died because of what was happening to her body. And they rushed her in, and she just began to have the babies, couldn't stop it. And one baby was born. I rushed in the room after parking the car. I couldn't believe it. It's Valentine's Day. She had prayed, and we had wept. We didn't realize that we were in it for the good life, man. We were brand new on staff. We had the world by the tail. And I'm standing here going, this is a joke. She's been on bed rest, flat on her back for 60 days, writing a book for young ladies about the sickness and not into death and how good God is and God's going to bring these children. And we're buying the clothes and people, oh, this is our story and our prayer and everything. And now this baby's dead. And I said, where's the other baby? And the doctor says, we're going to deliver that baby right now. We're about ready to give your wife a blood transfusion, trying to get her enough blood and trying all the day. And my brain is going crazy. What is happening? This is a joke. This isn't even funny. Well, my wife survives this. She's going to be bitter. I mean, this is not right. And in that moment, I didn't even know I wasn't holding my wife's hand. She's in the bed about ready to deliver that second little precious baby that she'd been longing for and wanting. And she reaches up in the divine and anointing of Almighty God and a mom and dad and the Word of God pumping these truths into her. And she grabs my hand and I grabbed it and looked down at her and she looks at me with that pleading eyes and she said, Joseph, God's way is always the best way. Amen. You know what was she saying? God's been God in my life. We will bless beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, and though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Because through it all, God, you're God. There's a young person in the room right now. You won't be called to preach because you're waiting to see if it's going to be good enough, or you're going to be good enough, or your speech is going to be good enough, or your friends are going to accept it. There's some young lady right now that won't give up her impurity and her sin or that baggage. Hey, maybe somebody's got God on trial because of something dirty or nasty that happened to you, or a divorce or a sickness or a heartache, and God's on trial. Maybe you don't even believe in him. You'll believe that 2 + 2 = 4, but you're not ready yet to accept God. Why? Because somebody in your life has taken the Santa Claus, the sugar coating, taking the bubbly life, the pink and happy and Disneyland life of God away, and you're standing back saying, hey, I know it's good for y'all, but I'm not so sure that it's good for me. And it never will, because you'll walk away sorrowful and God will say it's impossible. You got to come to a point in life, if you're ever saved, where you say, I'm not trusting a formula to put the secret sauce of Jesus on me. I'm believing that he is the Son of God that he died on a cross. He gave his life in the garden and on the cross and in the grave. And I'll choose to believe right now, and I'll get rid of my bitterness, and I'll surrender my life, and I'll choose to trust him. What is the message tonight? My brother-in-law, Jerry Wyatt's in Tanzania. And he says, I believe the reason why people aren't going to the mission field anymore and give their life to Christ is because they have a day that they got saved, but they don't have a beginning point. Now, you got to surrender all the time. A beginning point where they say, I truly surrendered my life, not to the goodness of God and what I hoped he had for me one day, but I just surrendered my life to God. Say, so I kind of surrendered my life to the Lord, or I've surrendered. Why don't you do it again tonight? Is there anybody in the room that God's been a big Santa Claus to you? You hear a message like we heard Monday night, a great message, but I look around the room and I see it on the face and they're saying, yeah, that's good for you, Brother Cooper, but you don't understand what I've been through. He's God. He's sovereign. He's holy, holy, holy. He's a God to be feared. He's a God to be loved. Most importantly, he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.